タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Helen.
And I'm Caroline.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Today we are talking about fabric shopping online. Are you new to the online fabric shopping world? Are you wondering where to begin? From understanding fabric descriptions to determining whether a fabric is right for your project, we share advice for online fabric shopping success.
Caroline, are we qualified to cover this topic? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Might need to bring in an expert. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Love to Sew. Break up the routine of a day spent indoors. Explore workshops and classes in tons of topics like design, photography, productivity, creative writing, and social media marketing.
Get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/love to sew.
Thanks to Wild Orchard Fabric Co. for supporting Love to Sew. Wild Orchard is an online fabric shop selling high-quality, sustainable fabric and project kits for the modern home sewing community. Plus, they print PDF patterns on A0 paper to make your fabric order project ready.
Love to Sew listeners can receive a special 20% discount off everything in the Wild Orchard Fabric Co. shop by going to wildorchardfabric.uk and using the promo code LOVETOSEW at checkout. And now, on to the show. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Helen.
How's it going?
Oh, so good. I can't wait to talk about fabric shopping online. What a great topic.
It is a great topic. Even for our listeners out there who do a lot of fabric shopping online, we hope you will get some tips from this week's episode. And for those of you that are new to fabric shopping online, maybe you've started doing it because of the pandemic and it's a little overwhelming and it's hard sometimes to figure out which fabrics are going to be right for you. So we've got so much advice packed into this episode.
We really, really do. I can't wait to get into it. But first, let's hear this question from Mary.
Hi, ladies. I had my first baby girl this past January, and I've loved listening to your podcast during my maternity leave. Hearing so many interviews with creative women who have still been able to find time for their passion for sewing while becoming mothers has been very encouraging. There is hope. I am a beginner with wardrobe sewing. I have bought some nicer fabrics over the last few months and planned some makes for when I get some hands-free time, but I'm too scared to pre-wash anything. What if I ruin my nice fabric? I know you do give occasional tips throughout your episode about pre-washing, but I feel like I could listen to an entire hour of tricks, do's, and especially don'ts to avoid a huge cry fest.
This is a really good episode idea. I feel like an episode all about fabric care, including a whole big section on pre-washing, would be a really fun deep dive.
It would. We'll have to put that in our planning session for later this year or 2021. Oh, we do plan that far ahead, you guys. Hard to believe, but it's true.
But Mary, we definitely, in the meantime, would like to help you to avoid a huge cry fest. I think our first piece of advice is to just follow the directions on the care label if you get one. So at Blackbird, we include a little hang tag with all of our cuts of fabric and they include the care instructions. So definitely pay attention to that if you are buying from a fabric store that does that. And if not, maybe pay attention to the properties of the fabric, as this can really help to indicate the care that you need to do.
And there's books out there that can help you as well. Fabrics A to Z is a great book with references about fabric care and different types of fabric. Other tips we have are, if you're worried about fraying, it's a fabric that you know is going to fray, you can serge the raw edges of the fabric before you throw it into the wash.
Yeah, definitely. And my number one tip always, if you are unsure of how to wash a fabric, is to cut a chunk of it off and test wash it. This is the best way for you to figure out whether your washing regimen is going to work for the fabric that you want to wash. It's just a good idea across the board if you've never worked with a fabric before to just do a little test wash.
Absolutely. And fear not, you know, 95% of the time I would say I just throw the fabrics in the washer and dryer and they're totally completely fine, softer even, more enjoyable after they come out of the dryer, more delicious and lovely. So don't worry about ruining your beautiful fabric. It's probably going to be fine.
I love that arbitrary percentage. 95% of the time. Hey, one in 20 cuts of fabric.
Y'all don't know that I don't have a spreadsheet somewhere tracking all of this.
No, it's true. It usually works out fine. I throw most of my fabric in the wash, and to be honest, I don't always pay attention to the care instructions, and it usually works out. So do as I say, not as I do, though.
I love it. All right, let's talk about online fabric shopping. Obviously, Caroline, this is your wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of great information from the perspective of a fabric store owner. And I buy a lot of fabric. So together, I think we've got this covered.
We're a dream team. Yeah. Yeah, online fabric shopping can be so much fun. I think there's something pretty magical about being able to shop for fabric from the comfort of your own home, on your couch, you know, just browsing all the beautiful fabrics online. I think there's something really great about that. It can save time depending on how well you understand the fabrics that you're looking at and also your approach to fabric shopping. And we'll talk about that a little bit more today.
Yeah, it's great that you can narrow down on a lot of websites through filtering to get the fabrics that you're looking for, as opposed to in really large fabric stores. Sometimes it can be difficult to find the section and you're not really sure what you're looking at. So online fabric shopping can often be more organized and faster. It also provides a unique opportunity to be a little bit more calculated with your makes and your decisions. So if you have a Pinterest board where you include potential fabrics for patterns, you can cross-reference that with other, you know, design inspiration boards you might have or pattern inspiration boards. You can make notes and things. Maybe you have a Trello system or some other kind of digital organization tool where you can be cross-referencing. I know it sounds complicated, but if you have this dream wardrobe you want to create, you can actually find the perfect fabrics for that, as opposed to sometimes going to a physical store and getting a little overwhelmed by all the options.
Yeah, even just the opportunity to look at fabric and then take a few hours away and think about, you know, what you might actually want to buy and then go back to it. That's not something you can do when you're going fabric shopping in person, right? You have to make that decision on the fly. Mm-hmm. But I do want to say, I think a balance is important. Shopping for fabrics in person gives you an opportunity to experience many fabrics all at the same time. It's a great way to get familiar with different fabric types. And I also think fabrics are a wonderful souvenir. So if you are traveling or if you're meeting up with friends or, you know, just going out and hanging out with your local community, I think it's a really great way to make memories when you go fabric shopping in person and you come home with a piece that maybe has a special significance to you because of the whole experience of buying it.
Definitely. I love going to fabric shops in other cities, other countries. It's so much fun to bring home those special souvenirs for yourself or for someone that you love.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about our own experience fabric shopping online. And my first question for you is, Helen, earlier this year, we talked about your plans to perhaps not buy any fabric this year. You were talking about a potential fabric buying ban. How's that going for you?
Well, first off, to clarify, it was a personal fabric buying ban. Of course, I need to buy fabric for Helen's Closet patterns and the things that I make there. So it wasn't a total ban. But in short, I have failed miserably. I got a couple months in, but you then did, yeah. When the pandemic hit and you released like these crazy gorgeous rayon fabrics, those two things combined were just the end of it for me. And then
it's
a perfect storm. Oh my gosh, I have to support small business. So I started buying all this fabric from people in our community because I just felt like I wanted to like spread the love around, you know? So it was a bit of a slippery slope and I'm right back where I started.
Yeah, I think the pandemic put a wrench in a lot of people's fabric buying bans because they're also stuck at home potentially with a little bit more free time to sew. And then all the rules go out the window.
Yeah,
that's totally fine.
But I do shop for fabric primarily online. I also go to my local stores. There's some great shops in Vancouver. And now where I am, there's a really great shop called The Spool in Courtney, The Spool Sewing Studio. And I really like supporting my local stores as well because they work really hard, especially to create that community environment, the local fabric land. They're really friendly there. So it's fun to go to the fabric store. And I really enjoy making that a part of my fabric shopping ritual, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I want to know, like, how often do you shop for fabric online? Are you looking at different fabric shops every day, every week, every month? Like, what are your practices, habits?
Well, how often do you send out the Blackbird Fabrics newsletter?
Generally every Friday.
That pretty much spurs me into purchasing something. I don't purchase every single week, but I like to see the new things that come out. And if there's things in there that would work well for an upcoming pattern, I'm likely to purchase something. But I think maybe once a month I would do active fabric shopping where I'm going around to different shops online and looking, or my local stores, and finding things that I might need or want. But yeah, signing up for newsletters is a dangerous and wonderful way to be inspired regularly for new fabrics. And I do enjoy browsing all the newsletters I get in my inbox.
Yeah, definitely. Have you faced any challenges shopping for fabric online? Like, what have been some roadblocks for you along the way?
I would say now I'm pretty practiced at it, and especially just familiar with lots of different textiles because I have worked with so many different things. But even just 3 or 4 years ago, I was doing most of my fabric shopping in person, like before we met. And I think you were the very first fabric store. Blackbird was the first fabric store I ever bought anything online from. And I remember getting that first order and I was so excited and it was beautiful. But I had ordered all of these polyester prints because they looked so good in the pictures, you know, and I was so jazzed about the prints and things. And I hadn't really thought about the fact that they would be, you know, more of polyester feeling, and that's not something that actually works well for my skin. I've learned that my body really wants those natural fibers, so I don't buy a lot of poly anymore. So I think there is a learning curve, and you do have to be mindful of what you're purchasing and not just get drawn in by the pretty colors and the pretty pictures.
Yeah, it is easy to get sucked into, especially with a striking print, and sort of think like, oh, it's poly, but it doesn't matter because it's so beautiful. But if that's not something you want to wear practically, then, you know, you have to think about that and reflect on that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I want to hear about your experience shopping for fabric online. Like, were you buying fabric online before you started Blackbird Fabrics? Are you old hat at it?
To be honest, not really. I was working for a fabric wholesaler before I started my company. And so I was just getting fabric from my job, really. We were able to order small cuts. You know, employees were able to do that. So I was getting pretty much all my fabric from that wholesale company. And then I started my store. And over the years, I've definitely placed a few orders for fabric online, a couple through Etsy and, you know, other shops here and there. But generally speaking, I have so much of fabric available to me at my job that I don't really need to shop for fabric online. But yeah, that's kind of my limited experience.
Well, I don't think your experience is limited at all, because you are a driving force in the online shopping world. And I think you're setting the standard really high. And that's awesome. You're giving your customers so much information and inspiration, which is so great. So what's the community response been like to just fabric shopping online in general? What are some of the questions you get and hangups that people might have around this?
Yeah, I mean, overall, we have had such an amazing community response to our online store, and it's only gotten better over the years. And I'm really proud that a lot of our customers have come through word of mouth, and we have a lot of repeat customers. So that is encouraging, knowing that people are coming back after their first experience shopping online. But we definitely do get a lot of customers asking the same questions. A lot of people email us to make sure a fabric will work well for their project. And of course, we're happy to help with this. Most of the people that work at Blackbird sew, and we feel like we are qualified to advise on whether or not a fabric is going to work for a project, as long as we understand what you're going for. So definitely always feel free to reach out to the vendor if you're not sure whether a fabric is going to work. But we also like to be really thorough with our descriptions to try to mitigate these questions as much as possible, because, you know, it's just a time waster. If someone's shopping online, they want to make a purchase usually right away. They don't want to have to wait for an answer from a fabric store. So we try to be really, really thorough with our descriptions.
Yeah, I so appreciate that. And what about the barriers to selling fabric online? I bet there are some fabric shop owners out there who maybe have had to scale back on the in-person shopping and would love to get going online.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest barrier by far is customers not being able to touch the fabric and see the color in person. So we do our best to take really high quality photos and lots of different angles of the fabric. And we agonize over color correction for every fabric. It's like a whole thing. We're comparing the fabric in different lights on different screens. And we try to do our best to have that color be as accurate as possible. But still, it can be tough to visualize how a fabric is going to look and feel in person. And that's just something you have to be comfortable with. I think when you're shopping online, sometimes you might see a picture and you might perceive it one way and somebody else might perceive it another way, just how you're interpreting the color or the drape. So you kind of have to be comfortable with the idea that a fabric that might get shipped to you and you might receive it might not be exactly what you thought it would be. And that's just par for the course with online shopping.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that it can't be an amazing, beautiful, wonderful project. It just might not be the one that you thought it was going to be.
Yeah. You have to be a little bit flexible. And again, with time, you're going to kind of figure out what types of fabrics you like and colors and, you know, fiber contents, and you'll get better at it as you go. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, what about some pros and cons of fabric shopping online?
Oh, this is a fun one. Okay, I want to do pros.
Go for it.
My first pro would be that you can do it from home. We're all busy and online shopping is becoming the norm. So being able to get what you need without driving or commuting around and hunting things down, I think is a huge pro.
Yes, I would agree with that.
You can also find things online that might not be available locally to you, especially if you live in a smaller city without a garment district or much of like a crafting making scene. You might have access to things in an online store that you wouldn't have access to in person.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of online fabric shops have a curated selection of fabric, so it's a little less overwhelming than those big box fabric stores. And you develop a trusting relationship with that shop. Like, for example, if they're carrying only garment fabrics and you don't kind of have to sift through stuff that's more for quilting or more for upholstery, you just get this niche presentation of fabrics that are going to work for your craft that you're interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of customers that have said things to us like, I trust that everything you bring in is going to be beautiful and high quality. And so you kind of develop this relationship with the store where you sort of just know that you like the stuff that they bring in. So whether it's exactly what you thought it was or not, at least you know it's going to be the quality that you want.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a bit earlier, but search functionality and filtering is so helpful on websites. Instead of hunting for what you need in a physical store, you can just search online and likely will find options at different price points. Even just Googling, you know, medium weight cotton twill, and in the shopping section of Google, you might see some options or fabric stores are going to pop up, so you can really narrow down so quickly.
Yeah, definitely. The other pro that comes to mind is that fabric information is written out for you, so you can save it really easily for future reference. When you buy fabric in person, often you'll just see the price, maybe the content if you're lucky. Sometimes there'll be a little bit more information on that hang tag, but often there is no information on the bolt, and you kind of have to ask someone to help you to figure out what it is. But online stores often provide more info like country of origin, the width of the fabric, the stretch percentage, even pattern suggestions. And all of those things, I think, are going to help you to make a really informed decision. And that is information that you can save for later if you're doing like fabric cataloging or any kind of project planning.
Yeah, I really love that feature. Okay, what about some cons? Obviously, you can't touch the fabric. That's like the biggest con. And the most like disappointing part of fabric shopping online, because as fabric lovers, we love to touch the fabric. Yeah. And going to fabric stores and running your hand over all the bolts is half the fun of it. Clean hands, of course.
I totally get that. And I feel that way too. I mean, you know, I think that would be a challenge for me as well if I were shopping for fabric online. Obviously, I have all the fabrics in my warehouse and I can touch them, and that's awesome. But yeah, if that is a really big roadblock for you, you can often order a swatch. At Blackbird, we have a free swatch service, and you can just email us and we'll mail you swatches free of charge. But I will say, beware, because you might miss out on that fabric. Fabrics tend to sell out quickly in online stores. So because they have a global audience, things just move a little bit quicker. And if you order a swatch and, you know, wait 2 weeks for it to come in the mail, that fabric might be gone when you go to buy it. So it's sort of like you have to decide, am I willing to take that risk, or am I willing to, you know, take another risk and wait and see if it'll be gone or not.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do for those fabrics that you see regularly coming into stock on sites, like some things that companies carry regularly. Then you can sort of get a swatch and get a sense for that fabric, and you know they're going to restock it, so you can grab it next time.
Yeah.
Another thing is that just like in in-person fabric stores, sometimes there aren't really robust descriptions on websites either. So there might just be a little bit of a description or just pictures and, you know, maybe the width. There might not be a ton of information like country of origin or pattern recommendations, or even the fabric content might be a little bit sparse. So if that is the case, you can reach out and ask questions. You can get in touch with them. And one thing that I was thinking about is if you're curious about is whether or not the fabric is going to work for the pattern you have in mind, do you think it's better to ask that question to the fabric shop or to the designer of the pattern?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Personally, I think it's a better idea to ask the fabric store because they're the ones that have the fabric in front of them and they can see and understand the fabric much better than a pattern designer would. So obviously a pattern designer can recommend types of fabrics, but they won't know for sure unless they've used a particular fabric that you're referring to. They won't know for sure if that fabric is what they have in mind, you know? So for me, I think emailing the fabric store is your best bet because they have the fabric in front of them. They can look at the pattern description. Maybe they know of the pattern. Often, you know, when people are emailing us about patterns, we know the pattern that they're emailing about and we can quickly give advice on that. And it's a pretty easy call for us usually.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if there's other questions that you get regularly with regards to choosing the right fabric.
Yeah, sometimes people will ask us about the drape of a fabric because, you know, certain patterns will have different styles. So some versions of the pattern might have a drapier fabric suggested, or maybe just the project you have in mind has a different, you know, kind of drape or fall that you're going for. So we get a lot of questions about that. Sometimes people ask us to share a video. We also share videos in our Instagram stories, which I think helps people understand. We also get questions about color matching. So let's say someone is making an outfit where they want two contrasting fabrics, but they want them to match, or they want, you know, a detail to pick up a color in a print or something like that. We can help you to make sure that the fabrics that you're picking go together nicely. That's a question we get a lot. Sometimes we'll have to go pull out the fabrics, take a quick photo, and we're happy to do that. But yeah, those are mainly the biggest question definitely is like, is this fabric going to work for this pattern? And yeah, it's usually an easy call.
Yeah. And the people that work for you just love sewing so much. I can imagine that they are more than happy to answer those questions. One thing that comes to mind as a con for me is that you're often not shopping local when you're shopping online. You may be buying from a different city or a different country altogether. And local shops are supporting local communities. They give people jobs. It's a place to gather, to socialize, have like a real in-person connection, keeping the local economy going. So I think that it's so important to spread the love if you're going to shop online, but continue to shop local, especially those smaller local shops, indie local shops. They're so much fun to go to. And you can build relationships with the people that work there and the other people that shop there. Maybe you meet a friend or take a class or something. And a lot of local shops right now are trying to get into online shopping because they may not have the ability to have people come to their store right now to buy fabric. So if they're getting into the online shopping world, supporting them online and going to pick up on the curbside, or maybe they have a delivery option in your area. But again, just try and spread around that support. Try to spread your dollars around so that we're making sure to support online businesses and local businesses at the same time.
Yeah, shipping can also be an issue for some people. I mean, international shipping is expensive. I'm the first person to admit that it is pricey and it takes a long time. So you might want to consider the environmental impact of shipping. How far does this fabric need to travel to get to you? And how much packaging is involved? All of those things are, I think, important things to consider when you're looking at it from the viewpoint of sustainability, and your impact on the environment.
Yeah. And the convenience for you having to wait, also the monetary costs. Like, I don't tend to buy fabric from US-based stores because customs from US to Canada is really, really high. So you're adding like almost the cost of the fabric all over again between the exchange rate and the customs. So it's just an unfortunate truth that it makes it not really viable for us to buy from US stores. So buying from your local country might be a solution, or just, you know, keeping all of these things in mind is definitely a drawback when it comes to shopping online.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, it's interesting because I'm the same. I try to avoid shopping in the US a lot of the time because of those duties. But then we have so many customers in the US because sort of the way it works with our borders is bringing things into the US from Canada, they're duty free up to $800. And with the exchange rate, it kind of works to your advantage if you're in the US. So it's not such a big deal to shop in a different country, but sometimes it is.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then there's also limitations to the quantity you can buy sometimes. So fabrics are sold by the meter or yard, or maybe the half meter or yard, sometimes quarter meter or yard. Whereas in person, a lot of the time they'll offer like 10 centimeter increments or eighth of a yard. It's easier to get that exact quantity that you need if you're shopping in person, but online there can be some limitations.
Yeah. And sometimes fabrics run out, but that's universal for in person or online. So yeah, sometimes there's just not enough of the fabric left. And that's always kind of hard to swallow when you're like refreshing your cart and it just won't take the amount that you want.
So sad. No matter how many times you refresh, right? The more fabric will not appear. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Love to Sew. Skillshare is an online learning community with millions of members and thousands of inspiring classes. Explore new skills, follow your passions, and get lost in your creativity.
Sam took their Fundamentals of DSLR Photography class by Justin Bridges. It's only an hour and a half, and it's meant to be approachable for beginners. It still covers all the different camera settings that we need for our photo shoots.
Nice. It's so empowering to bring your creative skills to the next level. Like we've talked about on the show, creative pursuits can be a wonderful form of self-care, whether you're sewing with the fabric you found online or learning to get the perfect shot of your new make.
Explore your creativity and get 2 free months of premium membership at skillshare.com/love to sew. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free.
Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/love to sew. That's 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes at skillshare.com/love to sew.
And sometimes, we mentioned this before, you may be disappointed if you open that package and it's not what you're expecting. It could be the wrong color, the wrong weight, the wrong feel. And then you're just going to need to figure out what to do about that. If you are like very, very disappointed and it's not at all what you were expecting, I think, you know, you should contact the store and just let them know, you know, give them a heads up so they can improve their photography or the write-up or something to help you be successful next time.
For sure.
But with the fabric stores that you're frequenting online, trusting what they're carrying, I think you'll find that you can pivot and make something else, or, you know, change your expectation for what that project's going to be and still use that fabric and it will still be a lovely project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if the color is wrong, you might be able to over dye it too and change it into a color that you like.
Yeah, sometimes it's not so much the color being like wrong from online, but it's wrong for you. You hold it up and you're like, oh,
yeah,
I've made a terrible mistake.
Oh. Well, a great way to get comfortable shopping online is to learn more about different fabrics. So we had some tips for that we wanted to share. If you don't know what a specific fabric feels like or how it typically behaves, you might end up with something that will not work for your desired project. So it pays to have a good understanding of fabric. To expand your fabric knowledge, you can get curious about the clothes you already own. This can be a great trick, especially if you're kind of stuck at home and you want to, you know, just learn more about fabrics, pull out your favorite clothes, figure out what they're made of, look at the tags and, you know, see if there's like a specific blend that you're really into that's in your closet. You can also try to identify the fabric weave. That's kind of a fun game. Pull something out of your closet and try to figure out, is it a twill? Is it a canvas? Is it a challis?
Is it a jacquard?
Yeah. And you can also look closely at the weight of the fabric, like really hold it and rub it between your fingers. This is an interesting exercise, especially for pants and jeans, because sometimes you don't realize like how heavy the fabric in your pants are or how light it is. It's really a nice way to figure out what kinds of weights you like to wear. And then also consider what fabrics you've worked with in the past and how they might compare to the fabrics in your closet.
Mm-hmm. You might have a scrap bin where you're keeping those leftovers from your past projects. You could go back and revisit your scrap bin, take a look at your fabrics, and just remember which ones you enjoyed working with. We've talked about journaling on the show before too, where you can write down your experience as you sew and take notes about the fabric you're using so that you can reference that later and be like, oh yeah, I did really enjoy working with that cotton jacquard. It was so lovely to press.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll buy it again.
Yeah. Great tip.
So if you have the opportunity to go to an in-person fabric shop, you can get curious there as well and touch the fabric, check out the fabric details, going to a section, say like you're in the rayon section, and just exploring what the different types of rayon feel like, how they're labeled, so you can get a better sense for what those differences might be when you're online as well. Taking a photo of the fabric bolt, details of the fabric that you like in the store can be helpful so that you can reference those later on too.
If you feel like you could use some assistance in broadening your fabric knowledge, we have a few book suggestions and we'll link them in the show notes. So Fabric for Fashion, the Swatch book is a great one. The Mood Guide to Fabric and Fashion and Fabrics A to Z. That one's my personal favorite. It's a really, really great fabric reference book.
Awesome. And you could make your own swatch book too. Make your own reference guide, maybe through ordering swatches or just collecting swatches from your fabrics as you use them. And then you can flip through your own reference book when you're shopping online next time.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about some practical tips for online fabric shopping.
Well, I like to look for fabric shops that have really great photos of the fabric. That's one way that you can ensure that what you get in the mail is what you were expecting because you've seen like a really high quality picture of it. I like when there's different angles. So there's kind of a pulled back shot if it's a print so you can get a full scale and a tighter in shot with like a ruler or a coin or something so you can understand what size the print is really great. And just seeing good detail, like good quality, it's not blurry. The lighting looks good. It should look pretty natural. Shouldn't be like super heavy shadows everywhere. And consistency across the shop as well. So each fabric kind of has the same treatment and is clearly thoughtfully been photographed.
Yeah, one thing we've been trying to do at Blackbird with our prints is showing them with a hand in the photo on our website. We've done that in social media, but we've started photographing all of our prints sort of being held up by a set of hands because we feel like seeing a hand and an arm really helps you to understand that scale. Whereas when you're getting like a pulled back shot of a fabric sort of hanging, you don't necessarily know the width of the fabric and it can still be hard to visualize the scale of that print. So I've also seen some other fabric stores have that print like draped on a mannequin or something. And that can be really helpful too to visualize that scale.
Yeah. And the drape. I love the shots where it's, you know, over a stool or, as you said, hanging off an arm or a mannequin. So you can actually see the way that it falls and the way the folds kind of go. Super, super helpful when it comes to drapey prints.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, you also want to pay attention to the fabric descriptions. You want to look for those important descriptors that help you understand the nature of the fabric. And again, some fabric stores give more information, some give less information. It's a personal choice of that fabric store. And if you ever want more information, you can always reach out to them. But we thought we'd go through some of the different things that, you know, fabric stores might hit on in their fabric descriptions and talk a little bit more about them. And I think one of the most important things to pay attention to is the weight of the fabric. A lot of the time that weight will be in grams per square meter or ounces, which is ounce per square yard. And we wanted to give some examples of weights and garments that work for those weights.
Yeah. And this is something I think people really get confused about shopping online or in person, just in general with their sewing practice. What is the deal with all of these numbers and what do they mean? It takes practice. You just need to work with some of them and you'll get the hang of it. So a lightweight is kind of a 2 to 4 ounce fabric that's 57 to 113 grams per square meter, or GSM. You'll see it put as GSM. Flowy fabrics like rayon challis, chiffon, cotton lawn, really great for light flowy dresses and blouses and caftans and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And then we would go into like a light to medium weight fabric, which for me is about 4 to 7 ounces. That's about 113 to 200 grams per square meter. That would be things like tencel twill, denim shirting, flannel, mid-weight linen. And these are all great for woven tops, elastic waist pants, or lightweight trousers. If you are making pants with a 4 to 7 ounce fabric, I probably wouldn't do like a tight fitting pant. You want it to have a little bit of give to it and a little bit of ease, because that type of fabric won't take stress well. And then of course, skirts, dresses, jumpsuits. It's a really nice versatile weight when you're going in the light to mid-weight range that could work for a lot of different projects.
Yes. And then we have mid-weight fabrics, which is 8 to 12 ounces or 227 to 340 GSM. This is things like denim, cotton canvas, cotton twill. These types of fabrics work really well for stretch jeans and regular jeans, wide leg pants, boiler suits, jackets, trench coats. You can go with something a little more form-fitting here because it will hold its shape, maybe some overalls, something like that. And great for pants because it has that strength. If you're going to be working in them, moving around in them a lot, sitting down, you want something that's going to hold up to that.
Yeah. Speaking of holding up to things, a heavyweight fabric would be, to me, anything over 13 ounces, so about 440 GSMs and over. And that would be like a rigid denim or wax canvas or coating or even like a heavy duck canvas. And you can make jeans like mom jeans. The Don jeans are a great pattern for a rigid denim, or a jacket, something that's really, really structured, or even bags. When you're getting into 13 plus ounces, that's a really great weight for making backpacks and other kinds of bags.
Mm-hmm. And you might need to beef up your sewing machine a little bit if you want to make things with this weight of fabric. Not all sewing machines might be able to handle multiple layers of a heavyweight fabric like this. So just keep that in mind. So there's lots of conversion charts online. If you're used to thinking of things in GSM or ounces per square yard, you can find these conversion charts so you can figure out what exactly you're looking at. Maybe you've never even thought about the weight of the fabric before, so now's a good time to get into that. And we're going to link our favorite chart in the show notes for you, which, you know, we have saved for our own personal use when we're shopping, and it comes in so handy.
Yeah, I love saving it in my Evernote, and then I can pull it up like on my phone or any computer that I have. I know that that chart's always going to be there for me, and I use that as a reference point quite often. So definitely recommend saving that somewhere. Okay, so when we're talking about fabric descriptions, outside of the weight, there are quite a few other things that fabric stores can put in there. Stretch percentage is a big one. So if there is spandex in a woven fabric, or if it's a knit fabric that's going to stretch, you usually want to know the stretch percentage, because a pattern will suggest a certain stretch percentage to go with that pattern. That's how it's been drafted for that specific stretch percentage. So that's something that you want to pay attention to.
Yeah. And I love when it says both the horizontal and vertical stretch percentage, or it indicates whether it's a two-way or four-way stretch. All that information is just so, so helpful. Also, the drape, it's kind of a difficult one to put in a description because there isn't like a system for describing drape the same way that there is a sort of system for describing the weight. So how do you approach this, Caroline?
Yeah, I mean, we have a few words that we use, like fluid drape or crisp or flowy. We have a few different words that we put in there for drape. But I think, yeah, you kind of have to get to know those words and what they mean. And yeah, it can be a little bit tough with the drape. Often there will be like a photo that will help you a little bit with that. And if you're not sure, just ask.
Yeah. And also going to the company's Instagram to see if there's any videos in their feed or their stories where they're showing off that fabric and sort of moving it around can be really fun to see. But you'll get used to also working with these fabrics and what a rayon challis typically looks and feels like. So you'll be able to make educated decisions as you kind of move forward with your online fabric shopping.
Thanks to Wild Orchard Fabric Co. for supporting Love to Sew. Who better to sponsor our episode on online fabric shopping than Wild Orchard Fabric Co.? Wild Orchard is an online fabric shop selling high quality, sustainable fabric and project kits for the modern home sewing community.
Their beautifully curated selection of sustainable fabrics includes the perfect hemp, organic cotton, bamboo, organic denim, and of course, linen. They also carry ethically minded haberdashery like YKK zips and interfacing made from recycled materials, as well as Guterman thread and hardware. They also carry project kits for modern indie patterns from Wixton, Tilly and the Buttons, and Anna Allen, just to name a few.
Wild Orchard ships internationally using plastic-free packaging with free shipping within the UK on orders over 30 pounds. Did we mention that they also offer a PDF pattern printing service? Skip all the taping and receive your next project's pattern ready to cut out on A0 paper.
What a game changer. Love to Sew listeners can receive a special 20% discount off everything in the Wild Orchard Fabric Co. shop by going to wildorchardfabric.uk and using the promo code LoveToSew at checkout. That's 20% off at wildorchardfabric.uk, coupon code LoveToSew. The next thing that you'll see in descriptions should be the content details. So what's the fabric actually made out of? And oftentimes there'll be sort of percentage breakdown, which is really helpful. And you can understand if there's spandex in that fabric, if it's a blend, if it's 100% linen or cotton, or if it's a mixture of things. It's really nice to know just so you can understand better how that fabric's going to feel, but also so you can understand better if the fabric is going to be a sustainable option, if that's something you're interested in.
Yeah, definitely. I would argue content is almost as important as weight, or maybe even more important to some people as the weight of the fabric. So those are two things that you want to make sure that you understand about the fabric before you buy them. Of course, opacity is another one. We include in our descriptions whether it's like opaque, semi-sheer. So just knowing that the fabric is opaque is important, especially if you're making like a pants or a dress or a skirt or something like that. And then if you're committed to buying sustainable fabrics, you should look for certifications or other relevant information that could inform your decision. So is the fabric GOTS certified? That's the Global Organic Textile Standard. Or is it a Lenzing fabric? Lenzing is the company that makes Tencel and Modal and a few other fibers that are more sustainable, and they use a closed loop production system. And it's just a really great company to support. So knowing that it's Lenzing certified is a way to know that you're buying a more sustainable fabric.
And oftentimes fabric shops will list potential sewing pattern options to go with the fabric in the fabric description too. I've seen this more and more in the last few years. I think it's this beautiful sort of marriage of like indie pattern companies and indie fabric stores coming together to promote one another and just give people a great idea for what will work. And you might not see your specific pattern on there, but the idea is that they're sharing patterns that you can maybe see a similar one. So, you know, if it's saying that this cotton twill would work great for lander pants, it's probably also going to work great for Persephone pants and other tighter fitting pants.
Yeah. Definitely. I think it's a really good point, because we can't list every single pattern that's going to work, right? But it's a good way to have a little bit of guidance and see what are they recommending? Is that similar, you know, to what I'm picking? And if you are deciding if a fabric is right for a specific pattern, like let's say you have a specific pattern in mind going into it, you can also check that pattern's hashtag to see if anyone has made that pattern in a similar looking fabric. So for example, you want to make a pair of wide leg pants and you look at that pattern hashtag, and you can see that some people have made those pants in a 10 ounce canvas, maybe not from the specific store that you're looking at, but you know, it's a canvas, it's the same weight. That's probably going to help you to know that that fabric's going to work well for your project.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not on Instagram, you don't have an account, maybe you're not a social media person, you can actually still use Instagram to search for things. So if you don't have an account, you can go to Instagram.com, and at the very bottom of the page, you'll see a little link that says hashtags. You can click on that and then you'll see the search bar at the top, and then you can start searching for things on Instagram. You don't actually need an account to see what's going on there, as long as that information is set to public via people's profiles and things like that. So you can still see the hashtags even if you don't have an account.
So you also want to note the width of the fabric, because different pattern companies are going to make recommendations on how much fabric you need based on the width of the fabric. So that's going to help you to figure out how much fabric you need to buy. Fabric is sold in
so many different widths. It can be anywhere from like 40 inches to 60 inches. Some of the denims that we carried at Blackbird have been 72 inches wide. And you can even go as low as like 29, 30 inches for a selvedge denim. So of course, if you're buying a 30 inch selvedge denim, you need to get way more fabric than if you're buying a 72 inch wide denim, right? So you want to pay attention to this, particularly if you're buying fabric for a specific pattern. And like I said, the pattern usually indicates how much fabric you need depending on the width. But if it doesn't list your specific width, you can usually safely go to like the closest width. So let's say it lists fabric requirements for 45 inches and your fabric is 46 inches or 48 inches, you'll probably be fine to go with the 45 inch width fabric quantity. You know, similarly, if they're saying for 54 inch or 60 inch, you know, a few inches up or down usually is fine. And there's also a fabric conversion chart online that we're going to link in the show notes. And you can use that to kind of make that conversion to make sure that you're getting enough if you want to be doubly sure.
Yeah, I will say that you have to be careful because it really does depend on the shape of the pattern pieces and whether or not, you know, at a certain point, a leg pattern piece might need to stack. And that's going to change completely the amount of fabric that you're going to need. So use these conversion charts with caution.
Yeah.
And I also agree with what you said about there being some wiggle room. You know, I don't do my cutting layouts where there's like, you know, half a centimeter of wiggle room. I tend to make those jumps pretty liberally because I don't want people to be stressed out. And because fabric does come in so many different widths, we need to have that extra margin for error, you know?
Yeah. And you also want to, like you said, consider the size of the pattern pieces, because if they don't fit on the width, you might be able to add a seam in that pattern piece or, you know, figure out some creative way to cut so that you can fit it in the narrower width that you're trying to go for. But you definitely want to consider this before you make the purchase. And one way that comes to mind that you could be completely sure is if you have your pattern pieces cut out, you can actually lay them out, maybe use some painter's tape to tape out the width of the fabric on your floor or on your table and try to actually figure out how much fabric you need, you know, by physically laying out those pattern pieces.
Yeah, that is by far the best way to figure it out and the most accurate and also the most sustainable, because then you won't have as much leftover fabric.
Yeah. And you also might learn, you know, based on your size, as you become more experienced as a sewer, you might realize, okay, you know, for my size, I know that a top is going to take 2.5 meters or, you know, maybe a pair of pants is going to be 2 meters. And you can kind of learn. So if you don't have a specific pattern in mind, but you know, okay, I'm buying this fabric, I'm probably going to make it into a dress, I know that for a maxi dress, I need 4 meters, you know? So you can sort of learn your own personal fabric quantities. And let's be real, you know, not everyone can make a boxy top out of a meter of fabric. It's just not possible for some sizes. And that's totally okay. You just have to know that about yourself so that you can then make an informed purchase.
Yeah, totally. The other thing you want to pay attention to is directional prints and naps on fabrics. So sometimes patterns will say in the fabric recommendation area, like buy more fabric if you're using a directional print, because you might need to actually cut your pieces really differently in order to make sure that that print's going the right direction all around the garment. So that's something to consider. How often do you see directional prints, Caroline?
I mean, sometimes it's like a semi-directional print where it looks better in one direction because they haven't done the best job of like rotating the, you know, the imagery so that it's fully directional. I personally think that prints often look different on the, you know, one way and then the other way. So I like to cut out things directionally either way, like when I'm laying out pattern pieces, especially like the main pieces, like the front and back. But sorry, that doesn't really answer your question. It's not that often that I see directional prints. And if it is a directional print, we'll always put it in our description because it's not always obvious when you look at it.
Yeah. And if it's not obvious, then it's not a big deal. Like I definitely have cut out projects without realizing there was a direction. And so, you know, the flowers are upside down or something and it's no biggie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, no one will notice but you, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't even notice. So you're all good.
And when it comes to nap, that's kind of a similar thing. So the fabric might have some fibers on it that are running in a certain direction. The easiest way to think about this is like a velvet or sequin fabric where everything is kind of supposed to fall in one direction. So you do definitely need to take that into account with those fabrics, because it can look really different, totally different shine or something. And there are fabrics that have naps that aren't nearly as obvious as a velvet or a sequin. So just keep your eye out for that. And hopefully that would be in the fabric description.
Corduroy is a big one. Corduroy has a nap and it's not always obvious, but you will notice, let's say you cut, you know, the front leg one way, the back leg the other way, you'll see a clear difference in the color when you look at it from the side. So, you know, again, it's something that maybe other people won't notice, but if you know that a fabric has a nap, you want to try to cut it all in the same direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also wanted to mention that a lot of online shops like mine sell by the half meter or yard, or sometimes even just the full meter or full yard. And when you're buying multiples of that quantity, so let's say you buy 2 or 4, we cut it in a continuous length. So you're not getting shipped, you know, 4 half meter cuts. We definitely have had that question come up from customers, especially first time shoppers online, where, you know, they don't really understand that we're cutting all of the fabric to order. So yes, if you order multiples of something, they will always be cut in continuous lengths. And I can speak for Blackbird and say that if there is a cut in them for whatever reason, maybe we found a flaw or something, we'll always let you know in advance. We'll never ship you a cut in 2 pieces, because that can really affect the layout of your pattern pieces and whether or not you can do the project that you want to do. So
yeah, when I'm shopping online, I'm always assuming that it's going to arrive in 1 piece. And if it didn't arrive in 1 piece, I would probably be writing an email about that.
Yeah, definitely. I do remember, I think one of our listeners wrote in about some fabric store somewhere. I can't remember the name and it doesn't really matter, but they were ship a piece in like multiple half meter cuts or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a really rare, rare case. Every fabric store online that I've seen, they're going to cut it to order and they're going to cut it in that specific length that you ordered.
Okay. So all this talk about buying fabric online is making me wonder, what happens after I click that order button? Like, how does that fabric get processed? And what are, you know, all the roles of all the people involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak to what we do at Blackbird, and I'd love to share it because I love sharing behind the scenes stuff about my business. But just so that everyone knows, I mean, we've gone from a one woman show to a 12 plus person operation right now. We have a big team, and I know that a lot of smaller indie fabric stores are not in that position and they might be doing everything themselves. But I want to talk a little bit about what scaling has looked like for us, because over the last couple of years, we've really grown and it's been really fun to define those roles. Most of our team is on fulfillment. We have 7 full-time people right now just fulfilling orders. So I'll talk a little bit more about what that workflow looks like. But in terms of other people on our team, we have 2 people in customer service, and then we have 3 people on our marketing team. The marketing team does all of our social media and product listings and website stuff, newsletters, anything that involves kind of presenting the fabric to our customers. That's our marketing team. And then we have our workshop coordinator, who also kind of does a lot of other various things with me, works on special projects and that kind of thing. And yeah, like I said, our fulfillment team is the biggest team. So I thought it would be fun to talk a little bit about the sort of fulfillment workflow to answer your question about what happens after I click that buy button. So the way it works is we process orders in batches. We're not just taking one order slip, cutting that slip, and shipping it out. We have to do it sort of larger scale because we're getting, you know, a large quantity of orders every week. So we can cut about 100 orders in a day, but we usually batch 300 to 400 orders at a time. So an entire batch takes about 3 to 4 days to complete. And the way that that works is we use ShipStation. ShipStation is a total godsend for my business. It is an amazing tool for processing orders from printing out pick slips to all the way to shipping labels. So we use that every single day. And it's a really, really great program. So ShipStation allows us to batch orders. So we decide how many orders we're going to print, and then we print out a big cut list. And that cut list includes all of the cuts of fabric that we need to make for that batch. And it's organized by fabric type. So we're cutting all of the cuts of a specific fabric at the same time in a row. And that cutting stage takes quite a while because we're cutting, we're folding in a specific way, we're tagging all of the fabrics. And then if there are other things in the batch, like sewing patterns or tools, jeans kits, that kind of thing, then we have one or two people working just on picking those items and getting those ready to go. And then once everything in the batch is ready, then we go into our sort of pick and pack stage, we call it. And that's when we lay out all of our orders. If you've followed us on Instagram, you've probably seen some photos kind of pulled back where you can see hundreds of orders laid out on tables. It's like a sea of fabric orders. And we do that because it's a great way for us to find mistakes. Obviously, we're human. Mistakes happen. And laying out all of the orders at once before we start actually packaging them up and shipping them out means that we can find any errors at the very end, because once we finish laying out all of the orders, we might have a couple extra pieces of fabric where we kind of have to play Nancy Drew and figure out like where those fabrics go. And then also when we're picking and laying out the orders, we might be missing some things because maybe someone took the wrong cut. And then when, you know, that cut comes along in an order, it's gone and we can't find it. So we flag anything that's missing items, and then we have those extra items at the end. And that's where we sort of figure out where all those things go. And once we have found all of our little mistakes and everything is good to go, then we start packing all of the orders. So that includes putting the fabric in paper bags, and then they go in recycled poly mailers, and then everything gets weighed. All the weights get written out on a piece of paper, and then we take it over to the computer and print all of the shipping labels and then put the labels on the packages. And then they go out into the universe.
That sounds really hard.
Well, we do have a big team doing it. And I mean, it's fun. It's very cyclical. And I personally love, especially the picking and packing stage, because you pick up an order slip and you get to pick all the pieces of fabric that go with that order and see what people are putting together and kind of imagine what they're going to make with it. And it's always really inspiring for us. A lot of the time, the whole team jumps in and helps out with that part because it can take quite a while. So we're all listening to music and picking and packing, and it's a real good time.
Oh, that sounds really fun. And I also really love the way that you package your orders, those like recyclable poly mailers you were talking about. Mm-hmm. They're also reusable, and yeah, I've used them because I've been shipping, you know, a few more things like between family and stuff. And it's great because then I can just use my Blackbird mailer, and it's got like a little strip on it that you take off and then it's sticky again and you can mail things again. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're really great. And then the paper bags that are inside the packages are obviously recyclable or compostable. And we're trying to go completely plastic free, except the mailers themselves are recycled poly. And like you said, they're reusable because that's the safest way that we found to ship fabric. You kind of need that strength of the poly mailer. Anything else seems to break too easily. So mm-hmm. That's sort of what we've gone with. But yeah, it is fun to package things up and kind of imagine where they're going to go and the person receiving them. And
yeah,
it is a lot of work, obviously, but you can do this sort of process with, you know, 10 orders, and you can do it with 100 orders, and you can do it with 500 orders. So even if you are listening and maybe you have a really small shop and you're trying to figure out how to scale a little bit or sort of streamline your operations, you can take this process and sort of make it work for you. Mm-hmm. I will say that we are a little bit unique in that we don't have thousands of active SKUs. Our selection is pretty limited, I would say, compared to like a big box store or even a smaller brick and mortar like quilt shop that has a lot of different options, maybe in smaller quantities. So this workflow isn't going to work for everybody, because I think that if you have, you know, thousands of SKUs, you might not have that many people buying the same fabric in the same batch. So it won't necessarily speed things up to batch like this. Mm-hmm. But this is what has worked really well for us. And yeah, like it's fluid. We are always looking for ways to improve the shopping experience for our customers and also just our order processing efficiencies, figuring out how can we do better? How can we be faster? How can we, you know, automate things? Like, it's definitely something that we're always working on. And it's really fun when you can figure out a little thing that will help speed things up. And that's always like a really exciting part about managing the team.
It's certainly been so much fun to watch you grow and just very inspiring. I can't believe you have that many people on your team and your warehouse that you just got a few months ago is filling up and you've got all these cutting tables. It's just incredible. So I hope our listeners kind of enjoyed that behind the scenes peek.
Yeah, it's been really fun to grow and to see where things are going. And yeah, the new warehouse has been amazing. So much space. We love it.
Okay, let's get back to fabric shopping online and some more tips for our listeners before we wrap up here. Number one is join the mailing list for your favorite shops so you can, you know, get notified when they're having sales or really unique fabric drops or things that you've been waiting for or looking for. Being on that mailing list is really great for that.
Yes, I also think buying fabrics in season is a great option because selections might change depending on the season, and some fabric shops only carry certain things only some times during the year. For example, we only carry swimwear fabrics for like, you know, May, June, July, August. So even if maybe you're not planning on making a swimsuit in the summer, maybe you would rather make one for a trip, you know, later on in the year, get that swim fabric when you can because it might not always be around.
Mm-hmm. And keep the care instructions if they come tagged on your fabric. You can keep those little cards or you can write the details in a notebook or keep, you know, copy paste from the website and keep it in a digital setting like a Trello board. Product listings can often disappear when the product sells out. So copy this info right after you buy the fabric and then you'll make sure that you don't lose it.
Yeah. And then of course, when in doubt, get in touch. There are so many fabric stores that have amazing customer service and they want you to succeed with your sewing. So ask them the question that you have so you can feel comfortable in the online fabric shopping process.
Yes. And lastly, we really wanted to give you some fabric shop recommendations. There's so many out there and you may not even know where to begin if you're just getting into shopping online. So you can always, you know, reach out to your friends who sew or folks you follow on social media, ask where they get their fabrics. A lot of times sewists even share in their captions of their photos, like details of their makes and where the fabric is from, because that's a really common question. You know they're going to get in the comments, so you might as well address it in the caption. So here are some of the fabric shops that we love. I will plug Blackbird so you don't have to. Blackbird Fabrics in Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah, haven't we done that enough in this episode? No, thank you. That's very nice. I also love Matchpoint Fabric. Michelle is Canadian. She's been on our show. She's very focused on sustainability and she has switched over to doing like monthly drops, which I'm really loving. She'll do like a little collection and when it's gone, it's gone. And she's got a really beautiful eye for selecting fabrics. So highly recommend Matchpoint.
Mm-hmm. Stone Mountain and Daughter Fabrics is another one that we both really enjoy following and has a beautiful selection of garment fabrics.
Oh yeah, they have a huge library and I'm really loving what Stone Mountain is doing on social media. And I think they have a really amazing online presence. Fancy Tiger Crafts is another shop. They have their online store with a beautiful selection of garment fabrics. They also have some fun kits and they do a lot of other kind of crafty making supplies. So they're a great option if you have a lot of different hobbies.
Mm-hmm. Spoonflower is one we wanted to mention. Obviously, they're a big supporter of our show and they are super unique because you can print your own fabric or you can find really unique prints. If you want to make, you know, your nephew that Star Wars jumpsuit or something, something really specific like that where you might not be able to find that fabric anywhere. But at Spoonflower, you can just pick the print, pick the substrate, and put the two together and get exactly the fabric that you want.
Yeah, totally. Of course, we love Sister Mintaka. She's in the UK and they have an amazing selection of garment fabrics, lots of natural fibers, lots of really beautiful rayon prints. And I'm loving the selection that she's offering right now.
And lastly, we wanted to mention a really great list that was put together by Jacinta of Pink Mimosas by Jacinta on Instagram. And it's called the Minority and Ally Vendor List. And we're going to link it in the show notes. So it's a list that goes through companies, including pattern designers, quilt shops, brick and mortar, and more that are either Black or POC owned or are ally owned. So you can make sure that you are shopping from companies that align with your values. So if you want to support BIPOC businesses, fabric shopping online is a really great way to start. And here's a few of them that stood out to us. And these are mostly new to us, so it's really exciting to discover new ones. Thank you so much, Jacinta, for doing all of that work to put this together. Mm-hmm. The first one is L.A. Finch Fabrics in the U.S.
Yeah, there's also Selvage and Bolts. They're in the U.K.
The Workroom here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Trap Fabrics is in the U.S.
And lastly, Yara African Fabric in the U.S. Beautiful Ankara prints if you're interested in that. So we'll link all of this in the show notes along with that minority and ally vendor list from Jacinta.
Yes, such a great list. And I know that she's been adding to it and updating it. So it's such a great reference that we definitely recommend checking out. All right. Well, in closing, if you've never tried online fabric shopping, we really hope that these tips are going to help you give it a try. There are so many beautiful fabrics available online. The possibilities are endless. It's going to open up a whole new world to you. So go and do that.
Yes. And share with us your favorite online fabric shops and online fabric shopping tips. Tag us on social media or call in, send us a voicemail, an email, DM us. We want to hear where you love to shop so that we can shop there too.
Yeah. Thanks to Wild Orchard Fabric Co. for supporting Love to Sew. The folks at Wild Orchard are committed to ethical values and care for both customer and community. This is reflected in the quality of their products as well as the quality of their customer service and operations.
Love to Sew listeners can receive a special 20% discount off everything in the Wild Orchard Fabric Co. shop by going to wildorchardfabric.uk and using the promo code LoveToSew at checkout.
That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloseteatpatterns.com.
We're recording in sunny British Columbia, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and you want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Contribute $10 or more a month and get a 15% discount code for both of our shops and a bonus mini episode. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
As if I needed more reasons to go online fabric shopping after this. Thanks to our amazing podcast team, Sam Humphrey and Melanie Brister. And thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Noise.
Toit.
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 I'm going to stop recording.